Funding for NJ Spotlight News provided by the members of the New Jersey Education Association. Making public schools great for every child. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together. And New Jersey Realtors, the voice of real estate in New Jersey. More information is online at njrealtor.com.
Tonight on NJ Spotlight News, newly unsealed court documents may reveal Senator Menendez's trial strategy. Will he point the finger at his wife?
It's obviously a tactic that's designed to not only exonerate him, but hopefully to minimize the exposure that she might ultimately receive.
Plus, rank choice voting. Experts gather to debate whether it's the answer to all the party line ballot problems. Jersey City thinks so.
Anyone could come in and go, well, I really love the Green Party. I'm going to vote for the Green Party candidate first. I'm going to vote for a Democrat or Republican second. That's exactly how it should work.
Also, New Jersey residents are split on whether guns increase protection from home intruders. And promises made, but can they be kept? NorthJersey.com uncovers some of the backdoor deals made to secure the 2026 World Cup final.
They want tax breaks. They want leniency on local taxes. Any way to minimize what they're paying. They want a way to do that. Also, the state has outright agreed to free public transportation.
NJ Spotlight News begins right now.
From NJPBS Studios, this is NJ Spotlight News with Brianna Venosi.
Good evening and thanks for joining us this Wednesday night. I'm Brianna Venosi. U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is poised to blame his wife during his upcoming federal corruption trial. According to newly unsealed documents in the case, Menendez may point the finger at his spouse, Nadine Menendez, for bribery charges the couple is facing by claiming she hid information from him that led him to believe they weren't doing anything illegal. The couple is accused of accepting cash, gold bars, and other bribes in exchange for using Menendez's political influence. The bombshell revelation was contained in just two sentences of an unredacted court filing, reading, quote, "While these explanations will tend to exonerate Senator Menendez by demonstrating the absence of any improper intent on Senator Menendez's part, they may inculpate Nadine by demonstrating the ways in which she withheld information from Senator Menendez or otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place." Legal experts say that tactic could protect the senator and, because of a rule known as spousal privilege, also his wife. Here to explain how is Brian Whistler, an attorney and former federal prosecutor who has experience with this strategy. Brian Whistler, thanks so much for coming on the show. So explain to me how this strategy works in a way that would both exonerate the senator but potentially also benefit his wife? I'm unclear on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the first instance, the approach by the senator is one that is like one would say creative and certainly is borrowing from a playbook in a recent case involving a Governor McDonnell from the Commonwealth of Virginia, who took a similar strategy in his corruption trial. And unfortunately, it wasn't successful, but it was a very similar strategy.
So this would rely on Senator Menendez taking the stand. If he does, he could share conversations he had with his wife that would prove he didn't know that there was anything illegal going on or he was unaware of any wrongdoing. Wouldn't that then essentially, cast the blame on her?
Well, it certainly would. And it's obviously a tactic that's designed to not only exonerate him, but hopefully to minimize the exposure that she might ultimately receive. I think part of the thinking may be that juries tend to be more sympathetic to spouses. She's not the political figure. She follows his lead for the most part. So perhaps it would result in a benefit to both, as you suggested. Of course, in my view, jurors are generally pretty savvy, and they can surmise that this, in fact, might be a ploy designed to achieve a successful outcome for both, when in fact the evidence may not necessarily point that way.
Well, so what changes now that it appears they're going to have separate trials? If the senator takes a stand, which we know it's been rare that defendants take the stand in their cases, but if he does, can that evidence then be used in Nadine Menendez's trial, or does spousal privilege negate that?
Yeah, well, he would be waiving that if he takes the stand and describes various communications that are occurring between the two spouses. And it's the only viable way, from an evidentiary standpoint, that evidence could come in support of his defense that he did not have sufficient state of mind, whereas she did.
So is there a way that they use this tactic and they come out unscathed and keep the marriage intact? It seems like fingers are going to be pointed.
I think it's a live possibility, but one can imagine that it is quite a challenging defense to mount. It's just significantly challenging, I think, for a juror to look at this and conclude that the spouse, the non-political spouse in this case, was the mastermind or the driver of the scheme. Now, look, it all depends on the evidence at the end of the day, right? But I was at the McDonald trial. I represented the cabinet members and the staff, the senior staff. I saw this theory advanced, and it was done very elaborately to separate, to create a wide gulf between the two spouses, and it just was not successful.
Brian Whistler is an attorney and a former federal prosecutor. Brian, thanks as always for your insight.
Great to speak with you. Have a great rest of your day.
Even if Senator Menendez is convicted of a crime at the end of his trial, he won't lose his pension, at least not right away. Menendez will be allowed to collect his federal pension until he exhausts all appeals options and gets what's known as a final conviction. That process could take years. And under federal law, former members of Congress who are convicted of a crime can draw on their pensions and use the money any way they like while they're incarcerated. But a bill pending in the federal government could change that. It would cut off pension payments to former members convicted in a number of crimes, including some Menendez is charged with. As our Washington correspondent Ben Hulak reports, the legislation passed in the Senate and is pending in the House and has bipartisan support. You can read more about it on our website, njspotlightnews.org. Well, Essex County was hailed for its handling of the COVID-19 pandemic, but a new state investigation finds the $40 million vaccination program there had little oversight that caused wasteful and even abusive spending of taxpayer dollars. The state comptroller report cites widespread problems like overpaying vendors and questionable paychecks to workers who held other public jobs. But as senior correspondent Brenda Flanagan reports, defenders of Essex County's work say the report only tells one side of the story.
Essex County pushed hard and fast to get its residents vaccinated against COVID. It managed to open 5 fully staffed sites, including a former Kmart and a Sears, offering shots and testing as it scrambled for vaccine and promoted the jab.
Ready, number 8? You can go down. Last one on the right, okay. Number 8.
We had to be first, and we had to be prepared for one reason. We had no choice.
Ultimately, Essex administered more than 622,000 COVID shots, but a new report claims problems plagued how the county spent some of its $40 million in federal COVID funding. The state comptroller cites significant deficiencies in the way Essex obtained supplies, monitored contracts, and oversaw vendors, shortcomings that expose the county to avoidable risks of fraud, waste, and abuse of public funds. The comptroller noted the government's obligation to protect taxpayer funds doesn't go away during an emergency.
The idea is don't screw up, follow the rules, follow the procedures, all right? And it becomes easier that way. Or at least make every effort to document what you've done. that can minimize the sting if something happens.
Rutgers government policy expert Mark Pfeiffer says officials did legitimately use emergency no-bid contracts to make quick decisions as they confronted blocked supply chains during the pandemic. But the comptroller found Essex overused that perk and violated public bidding rules, made 15 payments totaling more than $870,000 with no invoices, spent $17 million on extra workers without properly recording whether they all showed up, paid one staffer $130,000 but never explained what she did, and paid a robocall vendor an extra $110,000, and Oversight Essex didn't notice until the comptroller pointed it out.
And that's my point on contract management. Not enough resources were spent to manage those contracts to ensure that controls were in place and there was monitoring done to prevent that type of a circumstance from happening, and then monitoring to see if it did happen, what do you do about it?
Essex did fire three workers with questionable hours. The overpaid robocall vendor, Dunton Consulting, is politically connected to powerful county Democrats, and Essex will let it repay that money with an unsigned zero-interest loan. County exec Joe DiVincenzo called the comptroller's report a gotcha that's unbalanced, unfair, and does not accurately depict Essex County's response to the pandemic. The comptroller's documents riddled with inaccuracies. I'm not saying that we were perfect, but when any wrongdoing was identified, we acted swiftly. Other critics agreed.
It feels to us that they're looking to make headlines just to make headlines.
John Donadio heads the New Jersey Association of Counties. He criticized what he called the comptroller's Monday morning quarterbacking, which ignored Essex County's overall performance.
They focus on the negative because the mindset is, again, we're going to find waste, fraud, and abuse, and we're going to move forward. And the real challenge that I've long had with these reports, and I know I'm repeating myself, is, again, there's really no recourse for Essex County to go to a judiciary.
The comptroller recommends Essex should hire an auditor to justify expenses, just in case the feds come looking to claw back some of that pandemic aid. I'm Brenda Flanagan, NJ Spotlight News.
And we have breaking news. A federal appeals court is upholding the decision to scrap the county line in the June 4th Democratic primary. Those candidates will run under an office block ballot design. The appellate judge also wrote he believes the broader argument against the party line will eventually succeed as it moves through the court. And that might not be the only change coming to New Jersey's ballot design. Jersey City recently passed an ordinance to switch to what's known as ranked choice voting. It's an electoral system where voters rank candidates by preference. If no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, it automatically triggers a runoff between the top two vote-getters. As Ted Goldberg reports, the method is already used in New York City local elections and appears to be gaining traction here.
With the county line on its last legs, some leaders say why stop there when it comes to changing New Jersey's ballots?
We had the worst ballots when it came to the line. Now, let's not just get rid of the line, let's move to the best possible ballots, the most representative of democracy, the type of system that encourages people to get active.
Ranked choice voting could come to Jersey City and Hoboken as soon as next year. Both cities have passed ordinances letting people rank their top choices when they vote. Jersey City Councilman James Solomon was one of those yes votes.
It encourages more people to participate. It reduces toxic campaigning because it reduces the incentive for campaigners to be negative against their opponents, right? It allows voters to truly pick their first choice and not engage in strategic voting. Well, I like this person more, but they're probably not going to win, so should I vote for this other person?
Before municipalities can implement ranked choice voting, Trenton has to pass a law allowing cities to decide for themselves, and then voters must pass it with a referendum. Senator Andrews Wicker has repeatedly sponsored a bill that would do this, saying ranked choice voting would clean up elections a little.
I got to try to convince, if I want to win, some percentage of his supporters to put me second. And so, you know, if I just relentlessly and negatively attack him, there was no penalty of any kind.
Senators Wicker spoke at a ranked choice voting event yesterday at Stockton University. Republican Senator Vince Palestina said he agrees with Zwicker, showing there could be a bipartisan push.
The partisanship that exists out in society is just something they don't want to have a part of. So I think from the standpoint of increasing voter turnout, giving more candidates an opportunity, giving more people a voice, I think you would see more people engaged, more people taking advantage of it. So from that standpoint of getting more people involved, I think it would be a great thing.
Activists said ranked choice voting is a common sense measure. One activist even argued that not allowing ranked choice voting is unconstitutional.
It's my hypothesis that our current system is actually a First Amendment violation, and that that's something that ranked choice voting solves by, because if your opinion is that you would want somebody first and somebody second, you can now do that at ranked choice voting, which you can't currently express that.
When a friend of yours goes out to the lunchroom, you say, well, if they have pizza, I want pizza. If they don't have pizza, then I want a hamburger. If they don't have hamburger, I want whatever. We live our lives with ranked choice voting all the time.
Voters in Maine use ranked choice voting, and so did New Yorkers voting for mayor in their last election. Zwicker says this process allows more people to be interested in voting.
Anyone could come in and go, well, I really love the Green Party. I'm going to vote for the Green Party candidate first. I'm going to vote for a Democrat or Republican second. That's exactly how it should work.
Councilman Solomon says he's optimistic that Trenton can get Zwicker's bill past the finish line, despite the fact that a similar bill received no action last year and the current version hasn't gone anywhere either.
We've been in New Jersey for a long time. We can get a little cynical about good ideas going to die in Trenton. But the way I think about it is this, is Governor Murphy, the legislative leaders, they have a chance now with the end of the line to leave a legacy of, we truly adopted the system that's going to transform New Jersey for decades, for centuries, with a truly representative democracy.
Ballots statewide could look a lot different with ranked choice voting and without the county line. But a lot of things have to happen before we see these changes when we pull the lever. In Jersey City, I'm Ted Goldberg, NJ Spotlight News.
Well, Home Rule won in a ballot question put before some Jersey Shore voters on Tuesday. Seaside Heights residents rejected a proposal to merge their school district, which has just a single school, with Toms River Regional School District. While voters in the towns that make up Toms River Regional overwhelmingly approved the plan. Since it only takes one town to scrap the deal, Seaside Heights' decision prevails. That means the Hugh J. Boyd Elementary School, which serves about 180 students, will remain open indefinitely. As we reported yesterday, if the merger had gone through, the school would have been closed after 5 years, and Seaside Heights students would have been sent to Toms River. New Jersey is divided on whether having a gun in the home will keep your family safe. According to a new Rutgers Eagleton poll out today, residents have mixed reactions on the benefits of owning a firearm. Nearly 32% of those surveyed don't believe having a firearm in the home lowers the risk of intruders entering and harming someone, while about a quarter think it greatly lowers the risk. According to the poll, which was conducted in partnership with the New Jersey Gun Violence Research Center, residents are also mixed about just how risky it is to live in a home where a gun is present. 33% felt okay about it, responding they don't feel it increases the risk of accidental shootings or suicide, while a combined 36% felt it presents some level of risk, and 25% they believe there's a much greater chance for one of those incidents to occur. Studies have shown secured storage of a firearm and other prevention efforts do reduce the risk of suicide and unintentional shootings. The poll comes as gun permit applications have soared in the state. Meanwhile, undergrad students at all three Rutgers campuses appear to be aligned on one contentious topic. This week, voting overwhelmingly in favor of divesting the university from Israeli companies as the war in Gaza continues. More than 70% of students who voted at the Camden, New Brunswick, and Newark campuses agreed on the referendum, which calls on the administration to sell off certain assets or holdings with Israel and cancel the school's partnership with Tel Aviv University. Supporters argue that school has ties to Israeli security and arms companies. The vote was held as part of the Student Assembly spring elections, but faced pressure to be canceled from pro-Israel organizations on campus. Those groups argued divestment undermines Israel's legitimacy and creates division among students as tensions remain high. The vote, though, doesn't mean the school will comply. University President Jonathan Holloway said he doesn't support the move to divest or sever ties with Tel Aviv University. In our Spotlight on Business report, what exactly did New Jersey promise to win hosting duties for the 2026 FIFA World Cup final? Well, after months of denied public records requests and help from attorneys, two NorthJersey.com reporters finally got their hands on the contract between FIFA and New Jersey and New York. It shows what state and city taxpayers will be on the hook to pay for and just how much we don't know about estimates for total costs, which could balloon into hundreds of millions of dollars. Katie Sopko is the State House reporter for NorthJersey.com who successfully won access to those documents and joins me now to share what she uncovered. Katie, good to see you. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm going to get into in a minute just the sheer difficulty you had getting what are public records. But first, let me ask you, what were the top line items that stuck out to you from this contract?
Well, obviously the contract as a whole is very long. There's an addendum. There are a few amendments. So just in general, the contract is has a lot involved in it. But the big ticket items are FIFA wants some tax exemptions. There's nothing specified in the report, but they want tax exemptions. They want tax breaks. Also, the state has outright agreed to free public transportation for events, including the games themselves, including the fan fest events, anything that's going on during that 6 week window when FIFA is here for games at MetLife. They want trains, buses, free public transportation. Now, there are lines in the contract that are similar to other cities that have since rolled back. We don't know if that's going to happen here, but as it stands, there is nothing legally obligating them to roll it back right now.
Well, and that definitely raises some eyebrows considering the fact that New Jersey Transit, as you wrote in the piece, just raised hiked fares by 15%, has this massive budget deficit it's looking at. What else did we find out about what taxpayers could be on the hook for? Do we have an exact number or even a roundabout number at this point?
We have no number. We have numbers as to what we're paying so far. The Sports and Exhibition Authority is responsible for what happens at MetLife and on the Meadowlands grounds. So far, they've been promised or they've paid for stadium renovations. New Jersey Transit is paying for design work to figure out how to do a transit way and how to make it so that there aren't the problems that happened after the Super Bowl in 2014. So we know some of the money that's been spent, but overall, we have no idea how much it's going
to
cost.
And to be fair, it is difficult, as we've talked to folks, to really understand how much is going to need to be spent on this and how much will come back. You all had a very difficult time obtaining these records. Did you uncover anything else about how we're splitting the cost? Because it is being billed as a New York, New Jersey hosting team. Did you uncover anything about that? How we'll split the costs and the benefits with New York?
Well, New York is signed on to the contract. They are another body on the contract. There is no contract between the State Sports and Exposition Authority and New York City in terms of paying for the work that needs to be done to meet the FIFA requirements. New York is going to have to pay for their own sorts of fan fest and fan activities. Obviously, there's going to be a watch party in Central Park. That's up to New York to pay for, much like New Jersey is going to have to pay for a fan fest in Liberty State Park. But in terms of the work actually being done at the stadium, in terms of the beautification, as FIFA calls it, of the Meadowlands area, there's nothing on paper that says New York is going to reimburse New Jersey for what is being paid for that.
The devil, as they say, is in the details. Katie Sopko with NorthJersey.com. Thanks for sharing your reporting.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cleanup is set to move forward at a polluted site in Newark's North Ward thanks to a $19 million proposed settlement announced by the EPA on Tuesday. The deal focuses on the Riverside Industrial Park Superfund site. It's a 7-acre plot of land on the banks of the Passaic River that was home to all sorts of chemical manufacturing throughout the 20th century. Well, the new settlement requires PPG Industries, that's the company responsible for the historic pollution, to spend nearly $16 million cleaning up the site. PPG must also pay back roughly $3 million that the EPA and state authorities have already spent on the site. It's one of four Superfund Superfund cleanups in Newark. And dealing with Riverside Industrial Park will also help remediate the largest of those sites, the Passaic River itself. The settlement is now subject to a public comment period before it's finalized. Turning to Wall Street, stocks slipped today. After a strong first quarter, markets have struggled to make a comeback and appear to have a bumpy path ahead. Here's today's closing trading numbers. And that does it for us. But make sure to tune in to Chatbox with David Cruz tomorrow night. David looks at the state's climate goals and whether New Jersey is falling short meeting them. That's Thursday at 6 p.m. on our NJ Spotlight News YouTube channel. I'm Brianna Venosi. For the entire NJ Spotlight News team, thanks for being with us. Have a great evening. We'll see you back here tomorrow night.
NJM Insurance Group, serving the insurance needs of residents and businesses for more than 100 years. Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. New Jersey Realtors, the voice of real estate in New Jersey. More information is online at njrealtor.com and by the PSCG Foundation.
For more than a century, New Jersey Realtors has worked to advocate for home ownership and private property rights. Whether it's your home or business, we work on the issues that matter here in Trenton and in your neighborhood. As the voice for real estate in New Jersey, we support initiatives that safeguard home ownership, strengthen communities, and reinforce our economy. Learn more at njrealtor.com.
If you need to see a doctor, RWJ Barnabas Health has two easy ways to do it from anywhere. You can see an urgent care provider 24/7 on any device with our telemed app. Or use our website to book a virtual visit with an RWJ Barnabas Health Medical Group provider or specialist, even as a new patient. You've taken every precaution, and so have we. So don't delay your care any longer. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.